Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Billy Joel, live at Shea for the tour Shea Down.
Oh, the last concert at Shea, right?
Yeah, last concert at Shea. One of the places where I went to a baseball game, and I may have been touched by a man.
Wow.
Just kind of like touching my chest. Don't remember it that well.
Was he playing
we
piano?
We left before it was anything really bad. Angry Young Man. Let me fade that out. Angry
Young
Man.
There was a surprise walk-on at that concert of Paul McCartney.
And they sang, Tony Bennett.
And then Paul McCartney played the first concert at the new Shea, which is, I guess, Citi Field?
Yes.
Yeah, so he did the first concert there.
Wonderful show. One of all the concerts I've ever seen on television, that's one that I wish I had been there.
Have you ever seen Billy Joel live at all?
I'm not a concert guy, Rob. You are, and I don't. I wish I went to more of them, but I don't. I don't go to concerts. I have opportunities to go to concerts all the time, and I just don't. I just can't make it happen sometimes, you know?
When I was in college, I went to the Billy Joel. My manager just stole all my money tour.
Do you remember that? Where he was touring to like recoup
and
his loss.
It happened twice.
Really,
it feels like.
The special effects were a couple lights. That was it. It was him and a band on a stage on a riser at the Cap Center. That was it.
Wow.
And it was a great show.
I play Angry Young Man because it's just Angry Man is on my mind today because I come into this show today mindful of the prime directive, which is make people laugh, but I come in with a heavy heart. And I think you should probably title this show Mike the Snowflake, because I'm here to relay something because I have no choice. It's what I do, and when something weighs on me this significantly, I have to share it. And something that I've talked about on the show when we've had incidents that we talk about in the news, but I've never I've been around this type of stuff my entire life, and yesterday was an example of something coming to me that surprised me and I reacted to, and I wanted to share it with you because I think that probably there are many, 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 many people in our listening audience that have experienced the same type of thing, and it concerns comments from people that just don't belong in our civilized society anymore. And I'll just take you to look. I should preface what I'm going to say by saying I love golf more than anything. It's my number one hobby. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm able to physically get out there and play, I do it as often as I can. I don't as often as I can. I do it 3 times a week. And I really, really love being down here and being able to do it. I moved down here because I wanted to do it. It keeps me away from eating my way through the day. And I end up losing weight, feeling good, being out in the sun, and enjoying spirited competition. So
right.
I've loved it since my mid-20s. And I've been around golfers since my mid-20s. And I've been a member of country club probably since my late 20s. And I've been around also something that probably anybody that hangs around a lot of old white guys has been around, and that's kind of the veiled racism that sometimes pops up occasionally.
How veiled is it?
Sometimes it manifests itself in a joke, and I've been around people that have made a comment and you move on, and I've been one of those people that moves on occasionally. Now, I don't want to make more out of this than it is, but I also don't want to diminish it either, because I was in a situation yesterday that it shook me up. It goes like this. I'm playing golf, and then afterwards you have a beer or two and you're sitting there, and I don't need to mention names or anything like that, but the fact is I'm sitting up there, and the guy who's not a friend of mine, who's part of another group, came over and did a flyby and just sat down. And I was having a conversation with one table, and the tables were together.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman, if you want to call him that, was having a conversation with the other table. And but you know, conversations spill over and you hear things.
Sure.
And so I observed, because it was getting quiet and I wasn't engaged in a loud conversation myself. The discussion came up, and I can give broad strokes here, that it concerned the NFL.
Okay.
And it concerned the national anthem, which, by the way, is, you know, your standard deal. I've heard it before. I understand how it works. So I'm not even, I'm half paying attention to it.
Right.
And then I hear, well, this N-word, and just as loud as can be. And I looked over, and one of the guys in the group kind of raised his eyes and looked right at me. And I took that like a cue.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's offensive, and it's 2017, and we don't need to hear that. And the response was, well, what should I call them?
That.
Now, this is an old fart. This is an old guy.
Of course. How old?
And probably 70s, you know? After that happened, after I called it,
mm-hmm.
It's almost hazy to me, because my mind began to race, because I was sitting there going, there
are a
couple
of
people.
I can't tackle a guy, right?
No, you can't do that. And I leaned over.
Kick his cane out.
And I said to the guy sitting next to me, I said, I'm either going to turn the table over or I'm going to cry like a baby, because I was that and am that pissed.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we think of ourselves as civilized, you know, that we are, and I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know whether the current times have anything to do with it, or whether that's always around, and maybe I was just I had blinders on. I'm not going anywhere. And at the moment this happened, my prime directive to myself was, I'm sure as not getting up from this table.
Right.
And I'm going to order another beer, because the one thing you want to do in a situation like that is you want to confront, and then you want to flee. You want to just extricate yourself from the situation. And I said, that would be sending the wrong message. And the message was, you know, this was bad behavior. It didn't go further than that. I didn't dwell on it. The subject was rapidly changed. But my heart rate was going through my chest. I was so pissed off. And I was just so, I've been around jokes. And we've all been around jokes.
Yeah.
We've been around jokes for my whole life. Jokes are jokes, and I think that the politically correct environment of jokes, I agree with comedians more than I don't, where when you're on stage and you're trying to make people laugh and you're trying to provoke and you're trying to do, that's a different world. When you get a word that is said matter-of-factly, as though everybody within 10 feet of this guy feels exactly the way he does, that's when I get offended. It's happened to me maybe 3 times in my life where I've had that happen. And it's just, I can't begin to express how it made me feel. It made me feel as though this is all a ruse of civilized behavior. And it is 2017. And the fact that just casually someone can exist in an environment and throw that word out there as a white guy saying to a bunch of other white guys. And I just was, in the words of Paul Giamatti in Sideways, taken aback.
Well, I applaud you for calling him on it, because you know what? The easy thing to do is to let it slide as an awkward moment and just say, oh, you know, that's, you know, a boys will be boys attitude, and that's what he's doing.
I actually went online last night to say, how do you respond to this?
Right.
You know, what's the proper way? I mean, I sometimes I search online when I'm just lost, and I came home And Carla looked at me and she said, what the hell happened? She said, did you shoot over 100 today? She looked at
or
me
under 60.
And I was, it just, I've been around the jokes and I've walked the other way with jokes. I've walked the other way with that. And the thing is, and politically, God almighty, I couldn't exist in an environment like this anywhere. I mean, it seems like the golf world is chock-a-block with this kind of attitude probably. It's just not right out there. And I said, in 2017, I'm sitting there and I was just so, and I have to say, give credit where credit is due, where the person on my immediate right said, this is not the first time and you did the right thing. And that was enough for me. And that was enough for me.
I would say in today's, you did the right thing, Mike, but in today's society, the reason why we're talking about social inequality and racial inequality is because this does happen.
Yeah.
And on my end, I mean, I'm much younger and I hang out with different people, but I also hang out with, I grew up in a different time,
right?
Where, there were people that used this freely, and there were people that didn't. And at least for me and my generation, if you used it freely, you were called on it right away, and that's what it was. But for you, I imagine in your circumstance, you're in a space where, some of these are generational, I would say, views that just won't be let go for certain people.
They've got to die out, I suppose.
You're probably right. I think in terms of as I get older, I wonder, you say you came up, in an era where that didn't happen. I always thought.
I say it did. When it did happen, you were called boom, boom.
You were called right away.
Yeah,
away. With me, I thought that maybe, with my mom's era, people in their 90s.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I thought that. That you would get somebody that was at the time, last time I talked about it was somebody I knew that was 80, and I said, well, that's the way that's where the era they came from. I didn't know it existed.
But even then, I think it was an outlier. I think even for the 80s and 90s. And here's the thing about this story that blows my mind is when the guy that was comforting you after the situation said what you did was right.
One guy comforted me. One guy defended the other guy.
Well, of course, there's always going to be the
most insidious. What was the defense?
Yeah, if I went into detail on that, I would be.
He comes from a slave owner family,
it was not the disc. It was the concept of the word. Believe it.
Oh yeah,
believe it or not, in 2000,
so they can break it down. So
go check out. Go check out some of the white nationalist websites. You'll find out what is.
You should out him to the club.
But the guy that said that what you did was right is
not off the table, pal.
It's not that.
To be honest with you, Oscar,
I'd out him. Be like, this is the story. Made me uncomfortable. Figure it out.
But it's not great that you were the one that spoke up. It's nice that he backed you up. But still,
everyone, am I right?
Yeah, but everyone at the table was silent. That's not okay.
Yep.
Not okay.
I have to say it was. The reason I bring this to the show is because I feel as though if I had been around someone who had done what I did, I would have, I saw it one time, but it was an area in a different place, and a bunch of golfers.
Right.
And somebody did that, and it was a much less egregious situation, but it was also, I had this mad respect for the young guy at the time that was talking about it, probably a guy about Oscar's age that was doing that. It's just, I think what the reason I brought this to the show today is to say that certainly in this climate that we live in now more than ever, I think it's important for certainly old white guys like me to speak up. And I think it's important for everybody to speak up. And Oscar, maybe more people of your age group speak up than they do in my age group. And
We're empowered. We grew up in a different, really in a different culture, right? Yeah. You have to say something.
You have to say something, and I will tell you that it is, to call that, it is uncomfortable. It is, that you're going to stop the room.
Sure.
You know that it's going, you have no clue as to what the reaction will be. And I certainly did not. And I also think it's important to be measured. And I'll tell you why. Because I think that as soon as if I made the turbo scene, that would immediately be what the focus was and not on the actual the word that
and
was
also,
said.
Even
so
if
it ended, and it shook me. It shook me.
If it hadn't even been a turbo scene where you had gotten up and left the table,
yeah,
that's also, well, what a dick. You know, he can't
well,
even,
the thing
he
about
can't
it
even
is,
discuss
I
it.
Look, so, I knew it happened to me. I mean, wow. Way back when I was a baby DJ on the Eastern Shore, I think I was running a couple of radio stations, and my next door neighbor came to me. I've told this story on the air before. And did you hear that there are some N's moving in? And I said, I'm not comfortable with that word. I'm offended by that word. That was
Nigerians?
It. I never had anything to do with my next door neighbor again. Mm. Never spoke to them. Never had anything to do with it. That was another example of this. And it just is... you know, here we are a couple of decades later, and the thing is still going down. It's just, it's hate speak. It's hatred in its most ugly and naked form. And I think anybody, if you hear that, I don't know, I have no idea what my little gesture or my little protest did. But if it plants the seed in anyone else that this crap hatred is not okay, now more than ever. Mm-hmm. And it really was, you know, it was just a weird, weird evening. I was absolutely shocked.
Are there any African-American or minority members at your club?
There is no diversity at this place.
Mm.
And you know what?
And they allow them in, right?
And
just to be clear,
Oscar, it is you
Florida.
Make me laugh when you say that.
He's just setting some ground rules, Mike.
I don't know the entire roster.
Is there a box
here,
you
so
check
not,
when you
I'm
apply?
Not, but the conflict with me, here's the decision you make. I think I said to Carl, I said, we're not going anywhere. I don't care if I'm one person of a certain mindset. Yeah. We're not going anywhere. First of all, you're going to get it everywhere. And fleeing is not the way I want
to
roll with that. And you know what?
Not the
way vast majority. I think the vast majority of people don't share anything close to that kind of attitude. And it was demonstrated to me by a couple of people that spoke to me yesterday, which made me feel good. And the fact is that it just was something I had to share with you. I'm sorry I came in with the heavy story, but, you know, it is impossible for me to get this show started without saying something. And to be honest, to answer your question, Oscar, this was the way I chose to do it. And if it gets back to people, because this is a public forum, I'm fine with that, too.
That guy doesn't know how to use the internet.
No.
If he did, he'd know better.
Yeah, it's true. So true. Very true.
But, it was, on that note, look, if you do, I think... There's one slogan. It might not have been an American website. It might have been an Australian website. But the slogan was, "It stops with me," and I think it's a pretty interesting way of expressing it. It stops with me. If you hear stuff like that, God knows whether you will change minds. Probably not, but you will certainly communicate to a group of people, and it happened to me in a group. That if that type of thing, you know, it was condoned before, it's not condoned anymore. Not if I'm going to be sitting in that group. Mm-hmm. And it stops with me. And it stopped with me yesterday. And I wish more people would do it. I think everybody's been around it. You know, white people have been around it. And it sucks. And that's it. I have nothing more to say other than I had to purge that out of my system. And I hope that I don't know how long it'll take to shake. It's just, it was that sudden. It was that kind of, what?
Right.
And I read another website where they were saying you make the person repeat it. You look at them and say, what did you just say? And see if they have the courage to do it again. That's a way of shouting them down.
I thought you handled it the best way you could.
Yeah.
And there there's a thought process, and I think on the other side where, you know, I'm a believer, and maybe I'm wrong, and this is also pessimistic of me, of that if you're of that age, that you are not going to change. There's nothing that's going to change your outlook on it, but
probably not.
But if
I hate to be pessimistic, but I'm probably going to agree with
you. But if someone highlights that what you're doing is wrong, maybe you won't go around throwing your
you would have the good sense to at least fake it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably not a chance in hell that I'm going to change that person's mind, but I'm not swimming in the bile while that person thinks that they can spew that crap.
Yeah.
And and I'll
write a stern letter to the club president.
I think that that might be the follow up that I would that
you
I would
should. Do. So I'm not. This isn't. Oh my God! Like this is the sensitive police. It's not. If
no, this doesn't count as the sensitive police. Believe me, I've been around jokes that slur every ethnic group known to mankind, including my own, multiple times. Okay,
look, take that group, right? And I'm going to take the Latinos out of it. If you made that same joke and it was something a slur towards
this, someone, by the way, there was no joke in this. This was a serious discussion about a political issue.
If the conversation,
there was no lightheartedness.
If the conversation took any slur towards any ethnicity or any religion that made you uncomfortable, it's not a place that is not the place, or it's not. It's you pay, or if you didn't pay, if you're at a restaurant and somebody did this, someone would say that's. I didn't come here for that atmosphere. I didn't come here for this environment, right? And I'm not a member here for this environment. So, and you have every right to say, this is what happened. This is the deal. And if anything, Mike, I'm not saying they're going to kick this guy out, but people are going to find out that that's not okay in this environment to do that.
I hope so. And
if you turn over a couple rocks and make a few other members aware, of whatever underlying themes there are among certain
members.
What's
the worst thing they can say? Oh, my God, that's the guy who reported the racist?
Yeah. He's offended that you
do I look like I give a rat's ass? You think I'd be talking about it?
I wish he doesn't have any friends anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, that if anything, that's what I want people whispering about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad trait to have.
Yeah, it's a weird world, you know.
Yeah.
I love the game. I do love the game. Sometimes when I'm around this, and by the way, it's always been I can tell you this, it's always been a fringe element too.
Why?
But you know what? When the fringe element thinks that they are in a comfort zone where they can do that,
Mike.
That's
what
it,
if you know? What if you do this and then there's a backlash and they're too wizen to actually like put a cross in your yard.
So what do they do? Hire a company?
So like a cross on its side?
Or it's like two matchsticks that are so small.
Actually, you know, a burning cross rental company might do okay in certain areas of Florida. Because if you don't want to invest in an actual purchase, it'll be like the people that put like the big wooden stork in front of a newborn's house for 3 days after the baby comes home.
He's Matthew McConaughey in Mississippi Burning.
Well, you know what? Thank you for letting me vent. It stops with me. Hopefully it stops with all of you. And you know what? The majority of people in the great United States agree with me. And it's time to shout this crap down. And, I didn't even have to shout. I just had to stop it. And, that's the way it was. And where the chips fall, as Oscar said, I have no problem being known as that guy.
Yeah.
I got no problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I got no problem being known as that guy. You know what I mean? And when I left, I felt the same way. I felt the same way. And you know what? Everybody can't do what I did. I understand that. I understand everybody's sensibilities are different. Everybody's personal belief systems are different. But the fact is, when I left, when it was time for me to go, and I waited, it was after this guy left. And after I left, I got a vibe from several people that it was unspoken, but it was kind of like, we get it.
Yeah.
And that was okay, too. Look, you got to take what you can get in a situation.
Yeah.
What's
that's the
lie. We're not racist, but we're shy.
Before he makes before Oscar makes my life any more uncomfortable than it already is, we're going to start the effing show, Rob Spiewak.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
People are really into fonts. I've noticed this. By the way, this is one of the best jokes that I know. A Comic Sans and Helvetica walk into a bar. And ask the bartender for a drink. And the bartender says, sorry, we don't serve your type here. That kills it, a font convection. Okay? The font you choose sends a message about who you are as a person. There's a long list of fonts. We pick one. That reflects our personality. We're sending an unspoken message. So, for example, if you choose Carrier New, it means you're organized and structured and like to pretend you're still using a typewriter. If you choose Comic Sans, it means you think you're funny. And if you choose Times New Roman, it means you're lazy, apathetic, and unimaginative, and you always use the default. If you choose Arial, it means you like The Little Mermaid. If you choose Old English, it means you enjoy malt liquor. Didn't know this. Did you know this? And if you like Wingdings, it means you're a nerd and you have no life.
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Is that the back of Mac's head that I see
it
in this studio?
It is Mac McIntyre!
Maybe I'll talk to him later. Anyway, the Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. You're on air, on demand, and heard 24-7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show on now. And brought to you by a brand new sponsor on the Mike O'Mara Show, Hims.
Yay.
Men, look around during the holidays. Are you thinking, maybe I should have taken better care of myself this year? Well, every year for me. That's just the way it goes. A desire for fuller hair, better skin, maybe even to last longer in bed. Luckily, the solution is here. Hims is the wellness brand for the modern man. It's all you need to treat hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more, all from the comfort of your home. Hims is trusted. It offers FDA-approved medical-grade products, personalized recommendations, plus convenient, and here's an important word for this, confidential online consultations with a licensed doctor. Hims is easy. There's no waiting room, no uncomfortable time with the nurse, no pharmacy lines, and all products are shipped directly to your door. This is a wonderful, wonderful concept.
Yes.
Hims is affordable. You get big savings on prescriptions and generics at a fraction of the price. Look better, feel better, do better with Hims. Get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair up to a $67 value for just $5 today while supplies last. Our listeners can get started today for just $5. See website for full details. Do your future self a favor and try Hims today. Go to forhims.com. That's forhims.com/TMOS. That's forhims.com/TMOS. forhims.com/TMOS. Rob, you were telling me about Hims that the one thing you wanted to add
about this. It's a great resource. I mean,
it's a
think
great
of it.
Resource.
Who has the time to make a doctor's appointment and go in and wait around and sit with the nurse and get 5 minutes with a doctor? You go through this company and they
especially if it's something you feel uncomfortable with.
Yeah, and you're, you're doing it from your house.
It's great.
So much easier.
The confidentiality is there. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's been a very, very long time since we have spoken with intern Mac, and then I want to talk to Dan O'Brien.
You didn't see Mac in New Orleans?
I did not see Mac in New Orleans. He unfortunately had to work at the rent-a-center and was not able to make it down to NOLA. I'm so sorry about that, Mac. I truly am.
I was very disappointed. I hope you guys had a great time. I was wishing you all the best.
Did we wake you?
Yes.
Okay.
I really regretted not going. I really wanted to go. I just couldn't pull it.
I bet he pulled it.
And I offered to use Miles to send him down. And he said, Oscar, I can't lose this job. And I said, all right.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
He's all grown up.
I said it would
He's
be fun.
All grown
you
up.
Can come
Our
down
Mac's
and sit in
up.
The parking lot of the House of Blues and surf the internet. It'll be fun.
You know, Mac, we'll have other travels and we'll have other destinations in New Orleans. Maybe not the best fit, just the way I would think.
What's a better city for Mac, do you think? Herndon?
The better city for Mac? Let me think. I'm thinking
Fargo.
Nationwide Fargo. Thank you. You win. You win. Been a long week.
To Mac City.
I had a tough time. Binghamton, New York.
Oh, it's lovely this time of year.
There you go.
Yeah.
But you're doing well?
I'm doing well, and I'm definitely planning for Las Vegas.
Oh, look
at
this
good.
Guy.
That's good. So are we. We're very,
a solid
very
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, very good Wi-Fi.
Good, about that.
Good infrastructure.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have fun with you in Vegas.
I think they might have Google Fiber there.
Hey!
Gigabyte internet.
But Dan O'Brien is back from his 12 days in New Orleans, Louisiana. And Dan, you were part of the Adrian Garcia controversy about our hotel rooms.
The tour.
Now, Oscar, what can you tell me about the logistics of Mr. O'Brien? You were saying Adrian basically went on your dime, and then Dan O'Brien was, what did he break into his parents' house and go in? Like, in once again, the movie Sideways, where he went into the Coke can that's used as a safe in the sock drawer and took his father's money out or something like that. I'm not sure.
Dan, I don't know if it's because Adrian has burned me so many times, but right. Dan, even when he burns me, he somehow finds a way to make it like Adrian's fault. So.
Right.
But also, you have to admit, he has the safety net that about every 12 to 13 hours, we get an email from Dan's mother.
We do.
Yes.
She's very Thanks, sweet.
If there's
She's
any money sweet. Owed, we'll take care of it.
She's
Look
very
out for my boy.
Yeah. Is this true?
She listens to the show, and she's so sweet every time we have him on.
What's your mom's first name, Dan?
Debbie.
Debbie, thank you for being so incredibly supportive
and
of the show.
Involved in the program.
Yeah, she's
I
awesome.
I think that's marvelous. I
love
that's
Debbie.
Absolutely wonderful. Dan, you arrived. When did you come back? With Adrian on the same flight?
No, thank God, not on the same flight as Adrian.
I would think he would be the best travel partner because he doesn't take up any room.
The reason I bring up the flight is the only thing I heard, I think maybe Oscar passed this along, is it true that you were on the same flight with the former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn in the Trump administration? Is that true?
That is true. The one and only Michael Flynn. I'm literally
This is the guy they're talking about might be the next one to have the old special prosecutor
him and his son.
Sure.
Oh, hand into the indictment. What was the vibe like? Was there security around the guy?
There wasn't necessarily security, I couldn't tell, but there were a lot of people in very expensive suits traveling with him, and he wasn't just in business class, he was in first class with every single person in the suit that was with him.
Mm.
Really?
You think he stopped flying first class at that point, right? If you're being investigated,
you think maybe you would be like to blend in. You'd like fly Southwest.
I would just buy three in coach, and we all sit.
Dan,
together.
Tell the story. Were people staring at him? What was going on? This is a big year. This is like right in the middle of a newsmaking.
Is he taller
situation.
Or smaller in real life?
Yeah,
he looks angrier in real life. Honestly,
Well, you would be too, pal.
Well, most of us do.
Well, I'm so angry that I had to deal with him.
How did it go down? Tell me your tale.
So I'm just sitting down reading a book that I brought with me, and all of a sudden, near the terminal.
Yeah, was it a Harlequin?
Yeah, tell us the book.
No, because I'm a boring person who loves politics. I read a book by Henry Kissinger. But...
Oh, look at this guy.
Wow, I love that. No, I love that we have an intellectual on our staff. That's wonderful.
Whoa, well, don't go crazy. It's a Choose Your Own Adventure by Henry Kissinger.
Actually, it's a coloring book that Jimmy Cerrito gave me.
Why are you reading a book by Dr. Kissinger, just to, out of curiosity?
Because I don't know a lot about the Vietnam era, the late 60s, early 70s, just wanted some insight on it.
Oh, spoiler alert, now you don't need to read the book.
Yeah.
If he came
spoiler
in
alert,
second.
We lose.
Listen to the DJs. Listen to the DJs pounce upon the lad who may be inclined to expand his
Mike, we know
horizons.
Him better than you do.
Yeah.
The man can read all.
The
man can read all he wants.
Yeah, he was flipping through
O'Brien.
Looking for the sex parts.
He's still Dan O'Brien.
And then
looking
she
for the pictures.
Applause.
All right, everybody, leave
him
alone.
So I'm reading my book, and I look
up. Hold on, Dan. Wait, we'll come back to you. We have to take a break.
Oh, it's a good idea.
All right, I'm sorry. We do have to take a break. When we come back, I want to find all about you and the Trump National Security Advisor, former Michael Flynn, and Henry Kissinger.
And his sex scene with Henry Kissinger.
It's Washington Marvelous. Insider Report when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Does she talk?
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. If you need to lose weight or you want to look your best for the holidays, or you happen to be getting married and you want to tighten up,
yes,
or just improve your general physical well-being, all you need is Beachbody On Demand. It's an online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of the best world-class workouts, all proven to help people achieve their health and fitness goals. Get it on your computer, smart TV, tablet, smartphone, or any other web-enabled device. Work out whenever you want. No need for DVDs or a trip to the gym. Programs like PIYO. What is that one, PIYO? That's a new one, right?
PIYO, yeah.
It's PIYO, is it called? Is it called PIYO?
And it's very hot, very hot.
P90X, T25, 21-Day Fix. That's the one Oscar did.
Tell me you're ready for our
Insanity,
wedding.
Insanity, and so much more. Beachbody On Demand offers a wide variety of workouts, ranging from cardio to weight training, yoga, low impact, and even dance. With over 600 different workouts, there will be something for you. And for nutrition, Beachbody On Demand includes Fixate. That is a cooking show that teaches you how to cook meals that are healthy, delicious, and simple. Beachbody On Demand, a brand new service, already over a million members, and TMOS listeners can claim a 30-day free trial membership. Just text TMOS to 303030 and get 30 days of full access to this platform for free. Again, text TMOS to 303030, Beachbody On Demand. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Is the pot right? Are all of our little hens in the hen house now?
Yes.
Has everybody returned from NOLA?
I believe so.
Nobody's found, Mike. Nobody's found.
Hi, FedEx lady. Hi, how are you? That's the FedEx lady. Always gives me a big wave.
Yeah, she
she's
does.
Really nice. No, she's really nice. Hello. I don't know your name. Yeah. Anyway, so.
I think it's FedEx Felicia.
Thank you. Well, so I can say goodbye, Felicia.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
When she leaves. Is that what it is, you social media maven? Dan O'Brien, finally, last one to make it back from NOLA. So you're in the airport in New Orleans. You're reading your Henry Kissinger book. And suddenly, take it from there. What happens when this newsmaker shows up?
So I look up and I'm literally thinking to myself, is this real life? Because this sort of stuff doesn't happen to me. I don't see famous people at airports. I've never seen anything like this. So I see him and he passes by me and I'm thinking to myself after a couple minutes, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe I didn't get a good look at him. So I'm trying to do that thing where you think you know somebody and you're just trying to look over your shoulder but not be too obvious about it.
Right.
And I was being totally obvious about it.
Now, are you excited like it would be like seeing a movie star, or are you just more as a guy that's into politics? Is it notable or is it exciting?
It's both. Okay. It's both because I know him and a lot of people might know him.
Sure.
You know, I'm a political junkie. I would recognize some faces that not a lot of people would recognize.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say Michael
Flynn.
The
thing is, when you said you were trying to be inconspicuous, the first question I would have was everybody staring, because he's been in the news enough where this is a no. And the plane is going to Washington, D.C. So were a lot of people staring?
It wasn't the sort of thing where people were whispering to each other like, is that Michael Flynn? Is that Michael Flynn? Is that Michael Flynn? It wasn't that. It was a lot of people trying to do what I was doing, trying to look over their shoulder and be as inconspicuous as possible. But I could tell what was going on, and people were just as shocked as I was.
Mm. Were you in first class?
No.
Why do you ask that, Oscar?
Well, just because, you know, everybody runs around saying they're broke, and then they're having five-star meals when you run into them.
Well, exactly. I'm not using your money. I'm not Adrian.
He just threw Adrian under the bus. He threw Adrian under the salvo.
Snap! How's your...
In the face!
Do you think Adrian ran the rough math of how long and how much it would take him to stay in NOLA for a week compared to the three nights he could have stayed and left?
I don't think Adrian can really do that math, to be honest.
Well, you two were thick as thieves in New Orleans, though. You guys were hanging out a lot, right?
Hanging out is generous. I had to deal with Adrian for an entire week.
Oh, Jesus my God. Christ. Wow, we have a conflict. We have a conflict.
What a nice guy. Salt of the
earth. What a nice guy. Let's get the Michael Flynn thing out of the way. So you're looking. You realize it's him. He's surrounded by guys in suits. And then you go to the back of the plane. And was there any press or anyone there when you got off the plane? Was there any obvious this is a newsmaker or a person
like
that's about to be
indicted? Like a TMZ presence?
There was anything like that?
There was no TMZ present. There wasn't any press. But the weird thing for me was that once we got off the plane, everybody was going to baggage claim. But I never saw him try to pick up his bags. I never saw him go to the baggage claim like everybody else did. So I wondered if somebody else might have picked up his bag, or maybe for some reason did he just want to leave really quickly.
Did he fly into Dulles or National?
Into Reagan.
Okay, into National then.
So he got one out. Why he put your hands? Because he didn't call it National.
I know that's the proper name, but I asked you an either or, and you gave me C.
Okay, calm down.
So glad I got you a gift.
Calm yourself down. No, you just calm down. There's no need for hostility.
I understand. I just don't like when he beats up on Adrian, who's my favorite.
Oh, wow. All right, let's get to this.
Reagan. He is not your favorite.
I know.
Let's get to this right now. So you were roomies with Diego, Adrian Garcia, for the entire time down in New Orleans. And you said we were not thick as thieves as much as we were kind of forced together. You're indicating that to me, right?
Right. I didn't have a good time when I was with Adrian.
Well, in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Right.
Because the presence of that young man was able to ruin the greatest city in the world.
Rob, we got to lay this thing out here. All right. You say you didn't have a good time.
Let Mike steer.
All right. The first thing is the arrangements are made so that you are going to be bunking with Adrian. That's the way it was set up before the trip even began, right?
Right.
Okay. So you get down there prior to this trip. Did that news, did you even process it? Did you dread it? Was there any preconception of traveling to New Orleans with Adrian, when we let you know that you were going to be bunkmates?
I was looking forward to it because in my mind, Adrian would seem like the person to have a good time with. If I was in New Orleans, I would want to go out and I'd want to party. And it seemed to me that Adrian would want to do the same. Boy, was I wrong.
Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Now, I thought when I saw you two kids running around that you were just into New Orleans, that you were everywhere. I got the impression also that you guys were going to be out roaring with the listeners. And the social media posts I saw indicated that too. You're saying that he was not fun when you got down there?
When you said that you thought that all of us, that both of us would be going out, half of that is true. I was going out very consistently, and Adrian basically just stayed in the room for the longest time.
Really? He just hung out and he wouldn't go out and like go see the sights of New Orleans?
Yeah.
Did you guys know?
I have a headache.
Oscar and Rob, did you know this was going on?
No, because the first thing Pony and I heard is that by Tuesday they had already found a listener and were out with him. Why?
I
went down early.
I get the inside info.
Right.
Because Dan, to be fair, I also love mining for this information.
Sure.
So
yes, you do, you little.
So I was like, hey, how's it going? And at every turn, it was, I hate Adrian, but not in a hate way, because he did this.
I hate him, but not in a hate way.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement
right there. So it's not an overall hatred. It's incidental.
It's incidental.
Right.
He kept me up all night. All he does is like to be high. He likes to order 10 things from room service and eat them all. He's such a little guy.
So is Adrian nocturnal? Is he nocturnal like so many kids
are? He's like a possum.
Look, the nocturnal didn't help, but honestly, the whole thing that the one thing that really pissed me off more than anything else was just so much about the drugs. It was just too much for me. And I room with the guy. Now, if you're the sort of person that you want to do that when you're at your own place, do what you want.
This is like Niedermeyer rooming with D-Day.
It's a disaster. That's what it is.
Well, because you should know, I actually had a pep talk off air because I didn't want it to be a joke with Adrian about drugs. I actually had a real serious talk with him yesterday. I was like, dude, look, I know this is like your shtick and your bit, but you have to get your life together.
Yeah, we're probably doing a bit of enabling there with making light.
We're not giving him drugs. We're not giving.
Or selling. Not like it was 2 years ago.
Mike,
no, I'm just making a joke.
But it's this isn't an anti-pot referendum.
No,
it's if you're going to work with us, can you at least at some point try to be a little sober?
Have had experience with potheads before, and it has not ended well.
No,
it has not really ended well. The thing about Adrian is I always thought, though, that he was, you know, when it came to the hotel thing, that he was responsible.
He is responsible. And that
he was gonna do. So he is responsible.
Yes.
But I knew he was a night owl. And I love the kid, by the way. I do. And,
yeah.
and I
yeah,
and, you
great.
Know what? And I feel tremendous esteem for both of these guys.
Yeah.
And I love seeing them out and about. I loved hanging out with the interns. When I took all the interns to lunch, it was one of the best moments. The beginning of my trip in New Orleans, it was great. We all went to the Central Grocery and had muffaladas.
Fantastic.
And it was special. But it was a special moment.
And I want to clarify, the reason why, and I've talked to Adrian offline a zillion times about this. The reason why Adrian's in the lot in life he's in right now, it's because of him. He literally will go to CVS and say, today I'm going to start a new day. And right. I'm going to buy echinacea, fish oils, Red Bull, onion rings, some smart popcorn, and he'll sit them in front of us and say, guys, this is going to take me to the next level.
Right. Because that's great. There's a problem right there.
Yeah. I mean, he thinks that's the formula
right.
for success. When the formula for success
all
is hard
I can
work.
Tell you. I can tell you this, that when I was flying back Sunday, the one directive I gave Adrian after the show on Saturday night was that he said, I'm going to need my backdrop, my little Mike O'Mara show backdrop for the show when I get back to my home on Monday. So Sunday morning, you're going to have to get that over. He said, yes. He says, I called on the fourth ring. It was like, this was probably at 8:30 in the morning, and it was obvious to me that he was a bit of a night owl. He's a sleep prop.
Okay.
He wasn't doing bong hits.
Dan,
he was absolutely
kept me up all night.
Well, you know, he's unfortunately he will have to defend himself because he's here, and I hope you don't have any skeletons in your closet, young man, because you know what, he's gonna have an opportunity for counterpoint. But let's continue throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
What else peeved you, Dan O'Brien, about Adrian? Oh wait, you know what? I'm sorry. Look, I didn't know this was coming.
Right.
And by the way, Mac, don't be sad. We'll talk to you all day on Friday's show. Right, guys?
Yes. Yes.
Am I right? Yeah. Isn't that a great idea?
I love it.
I have a gift for him.
Hope it's he perfect. Can make it back in tomorrow.
So take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get to know our friends at KCJJ. Tom Suter. He loves to play guitar. He was a member of the popular rock and roll group, the B-52s. Tom stands an impressive 7'2" in his bare feet. Tom loves to tinker in his workshop and is responsible for inventing the bottle cap, cocktail sauce, and the scotch tape dispenser. Tom is happily married now, but escorted Jill Clayburgh to the 1978 Oscars and got to third base. Tom studied baking for 9 years and made the wedding cakes for many of Larry King's marriages. And Tom owns a magic stapler. But mostly, Tom is the general manager of radio station KCJJ, airing the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, KCJJ.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Blue apron! I saw you stand up. Anyway, I'm sorry. Every time Carla cooks some delicious blue apron food, an angel gets its wings. Where's the ding? Hold on, I gotta find it here. Sorry, I gotta go in there. An angel gets its wings.
Pretty
loud. Fun and easy for her, yummy for me. Oh. And there's always something new. It's the better way to cook. I love my Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients so you, I mean you, person with no cooking experience, can make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. Recipes don't repeat within a year, so you'll never get bored. And with no weekly commitment, you only get deliveries when you want them. How'd you like some seared steaks and garlic butter with oven fries and romaine salad? Oh. Can someone bring that to me right now, please?
Please, run.
I want that. Seared steaks. Not cooked steaks, seared. That just sounds so yummy nummy. How about this? This is the next night. Roasted chicken and fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger compote. Does that sound holiday-ish for you?
It's very nice for me to eat.
It's the best food in town. Plus, Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. And I want those seared steaks.
Hey, man, those steaks are seared.
Seared steaks. All right, so we've established the fact that he's not out. We've established the fact that he's staying in the room. We've established the fact that he's not going out. Yes, yes, Rob.
I have a question. You said that he ordered a lot of room service. Now, they're really, if you are financially strapped, if you're challenged in a money way, room service is not the most economical way to feed yourself.
Did he eat room service, Dan?
What? That wasn't room service. That was a lot of food that he had made. So it wasn't.
What do you
something...
mean he had made? Like he brought with him in a suitcase? What's going on with that?
No, he put the bread in the toaster and made toast, and then cooked some of the other stuff that was there.
There was a toaster.
Yes, there was a toaster
hotel.
In the room. Yes.
Oh, you see, I forgot. He stayed in one of those efficiencies. Yeah, he stayed in a real suite. He stayed in a large room with a living room and a couch. While I was staying in a closet.
I'm Adrian. I'd had nothing to do with booking it.
I'm sorry, Mike. There'll be no toast for you.
No toast for me. Toast. Hey, you know, who am I? Jim Nance? Listen, I want my toast almost burnt, and that's why I decided to carry a picture of it. That's a true story.
It
he
is.
Carried a picture of the burnt toast he wanted because he never got it right in a restaurant. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, seriously, the average server in a low-level breakfast restaurant that gets that picture? You take that back to the chef and go, excuse me, the man in table 4A would like his toast cooked like this. And I would take and go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
He wants the expectoration platter.
So he's making his own food. What else, Dan? I tire of this story.
So the last part of it, the thing that really just tied up all of the angst that I had towards Adrian throughout the week was when we got back. So we had separate flights coming back from New Orleans into Reagan National.
Right.
We were arriving at approximately 10:15. He was scheduled to arrive a little bit later, and his flight got delayed. So I had already picked up my bags by the time that he texts me saying that he is in. He says that he is at baggage claim 2A, and I'm at baggage claim 16. So I try going into where I assume 2A is, and I realize it's in a whole different terminal.
Right.
So I get it. I really, really, and this, you know, Dan, you've said a lot of things about him, but right now I'm tracking with you. So what he's saying to you is he's delayed. You got all your stuff. You're tired. It's been a week in New Orleans. You'd like to beat feet because he's on a later flight that got delayed. How many hours is his flight in back of yours?
His flight is probably about 45 minutes to an hour behind me.
But late at night, that's an eternity.
Yes.
And that's probably... You're talking about an hour and a half if you're talking about baggage claim
you
and everything.
Beat down.
He wanted you to come and help with all the stuff, right? Is that it?
Right. And and what happened was he said on yesterday's show that I was the reason that he ended up being late. But what really happened was that when I finally got my bags and I saw that he had landed, I texted him saying, stay there. I will get you. I will take care of the bags with you. My phone is dying. Now, if you get some sort of text like that, do you stay where you are like I say, or do you go somewhere else just to mess
Dan
with
O'Brien,
me and make things
stop
difficult?
You. Dan O'Brien, I am going to stop you right there because now I'll tell you where you got me, and you probably have Oscar and Rob and a lot of our listeners. The fact is you did not rebuff him and chuck it and say, F it. I'm just going to go, which, you know, I'm exhausted.
Most people would be like,
your
good
plane
luck,
is
man.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, you can you deal with this, buddy?
Yeah, yeah,
I want
right.
to go
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah.
Can
I
you rent
go
a
home
smart
and get a good night's sleep?
Yeah. And make the
you
best
are
of it.
Willing. You are willing to go over there and help with the baggage. What did he do? Did he split?
So my phone had died before I got there. So I go to the terminal, to the baggage claim, and I look around for probably a minute or so and say, is he that short or can I just not see him?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So.
Personal attack.
You're not a Redwood yourself there, boy, but no. Go ahead. All right.
So, yeah, but he's barely a sapling. Anyway.
Well done.
Thank you. So we are at his baggage claim where I told him to stay so we could meet up and get back together.
Right.
Stay there, you little idiot.
Exactly. Verbatim. So I go there and I don't see him. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I pull out my phone charger and charge my phone and I turn it on and I realize that he has left for the metro station without me.
Oh, my God. After he told you to bring your bag.
He abandoned me.
He abandoned you. And how much had you delayed? And between the time you got all of your stuff where you could have left and the time that that you find out that he has beat feet, how much time passed?
At least a half hour.
Half-assed.
So, oh. And so
that's
the metro
honest. That's an honest answer.
The metro station closes down. He told me at midnight. I found out later that it was 11:30 because...
Were you relying on Metro to get back to where you needed to get?
Yes. I was going to Metro from National to Wheel Resting on the Silver Line and then get shuttle back to the hotel and then drive home.
I'm getting a sense that there's going to be another side of the story.
I think there's going to be many sides, and I think this could result in some sort of ultimate fight.
Can't wait.
Oh.
The squared circle.
How did the date end? What happened at the end of all this?
So what happened was he had gotten to the Metro, and luckily for him, he was able to get the last train. I was not able to get the last train because
no.
I went over to his baggage claim to help him with the damn bags.
Oh, my God. That's where all the anger comes from.
Yeah.
Is
oh,
that
you hit the nail right on the head.
Oh, man, I like Dan O'Brien's stories. He's good. He's probably one of the more articulate interns that we've had.
That's high praise.
I figure worst-case scenario, if we both miss the Metro together...
You'll share a cab.
Yes, we could share a cab. We could share a lift.
Yes.
He leaves me behind. And so instead of maybe us splitting a $40, $35 lift and just going and both being able to afford it...
Yes.
Because he can afford everything since he has so much money, then...
Wow.
He loves telling people, Mike, and I've gotten multiple reports because I have a
Who
bunch
does,
of...
Who does, Dan or Adrian?
Adrian does, telling people he has a lot of cash on him.
At one point over the weekend, didn't you say he pulled out like a stack of 20s or something?
He
like
has cash all the time. And what he doesn't realize is that when he does this to the person who's paid for everything and to stay there, essentially, it burns me, A. But when he tells other listeners, they love telling me.
Yeah.
He's told other listeners that all he has on him is a lot of cash multiple times. What's the story with all the cash?
I don't know. You expect me to be able to read the mind of a stoner. What am I supposed to know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hey, all right. Can I ask you this, Dan O'Brien?
Absolutely.
Were there any good times with young Adrian on the trip?
Well, when he was sleeping, he wasn't talking too much. That was nice.
Oh, my
Whoa.
God.
Did it even start out well?
It started out okay, but it was just thing after thing after thing. And that the last day.
All right, let me ask you this. I have to ask you this as well, too, because on social media, and I observe this, and Carla even does this, and I think everybody that went to New Orleans knows this. Dan, did it frustrate you how lovable Adrian was in everybody's eyes? Rob, did you get that vibe? Oh, look at Adrian.
Yeah.
He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah. It's like we were traveling with a puppy. So cute and useless. And occasionally soiling the carpet.
Why are you down on him? He didn't do anything to you, did he?
But you know what? I put myself
You like the political boy.
No, well, Dan has painted a very, very solid case against the puppy.
Sometimes you got to get rid of the puppy.
And if it hadn't been for the puppy, then maybe I wouldn't have gotten home at 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Oscar. Damn hey, puppy. Oscar started the ball rolling when he was talking about Adrian halfway through. Maybe the day we got there. Oscar was already rolling on the trip, the talk about Adrian.
He burned us on the hotels.
Right.
And his Cavalier. You know what? Again, it's for someone that's supposed to be so considerate, he's so inconsiderate. Because when he called in,
he better come in. Is he coming in next week?
Because he hears this show.
The morning of our trip to New Orleans, a Thursday, we were flying out at around 12:31 1 p.m. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I get the call after I've been talking to him all week about our accommodations, things that need to be done. He goes, like I said before, and maybe you're just listening now, so now you know.
And I watched this call go down live.
He says, I just want to confirm that you have the card for Mike's hotel room because you were checking in early. I said, did you not think to ask me this when I'm not about to board a plane or, you know, right before the trip? And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I get it. I was like, here's the number. And he wrote down the number wrong twice. So and then we finally got the number right. And then he called me back. Oh, I didn't even tell you. He called me back and said, this is not working. I said, it's a Visa. And he goes, oh, I thought it was a MasterCard. I said, no, I said it was a Visa. Like, this whole transaction's going.
So he was problematic.
No, but that's it. And then you think that's enough to annoy you, right?
Right.
Then he's like, I just want to confirm I'm here with Dan O'Brien. He rolled you into the mix.
Shocker.
And remember you said you would pay. And I said, well, how much is that? Pay for our 3 days here. And it was $30 a night.
You're very frustrated.
And then he went into $300 plus dollars.
I know.
And so, but when I ask him this, if this is the conjuring side of Adrian. When I ask him this in person or off air or whenever I can communicate with him when he's not high, He's like, but that's what you said. And I'm like, I said 3 days. Yes, but he found the most expensive 3 days.
Do you know what Adrian's favorite way to start a sentence is?
What's that?
Don't you remember? The guy that couldn't find his way to hear from CVS if he didn't have a path.
Well, I've worked with plenty of people that have done that. That is for sure.
At least he doesn't have to give us the news every day.
Oh, wow.
$30.
We will take
only 30.
Wow. And come back with more fun on the Michael Mara Show. News you may not need.
Right on.
Ladies, would you like part-time access to your favorite Bolivians, Wit, ooh, Wisdom, Wang, and Mother. Wallet?
Wang.
Are you capable Wang. Of keeping your mouth shut and not ruining a good thing? This season's Oscar Santana scholarship has been claimed, but you may still be eligible for a Schmosker Fantana partial scholarship. While on scholarship, you learn about important topics like the value of Schmosker's time and why you shouldn't have sent that text. To apply, gather up your sexiest photos and mail them in discreet packaging to the Mike O'Mara Show. As with all Fantana brand offerings, no fatties, no uggos.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Face it, folks, whether or not you want to admit it, the holidays are upon us. Do you want your holidays to suck? Of course not.
No.
The solution is to look within yourself. If you quit sucking, so will your holidays. Your holidays, if you quit sucking, will be better. Don't be a leech that only slurps up the free TMOS content.
Slurp it, Mike. Ew. Slurp it.
Be one of the wise men or women that subscribe to the bonus show and enjoy a gift of wonderful sixth hour of TMOS each and every week. Make this the best holiday season ever. Sign up for the TMOS bonus show right now. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Besides, it's the most fun we have each week. And try the new turkey and cranberry scented bonus package. It's like a Yankee candle for your ears. Mm. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. So please, we've said it to you. We will say it again. Quit sucking!
Yeah, don't slurp.
And we thank you.
News!
More bad news for Kevin Spacey.
Oh.
He's been accused of sexually assaulting an 18-year-old man last year in Nantucket, Massachusetts, and police are investigating. The man's mother is former Boston TV news anchor. Her name is Heather Unruh, and she gave the details at a press conference yesterday. Wow. She said her son met Spacey at a bar last July. He told Spacey he was old enough to drink, so Kevin started feeding him drinks and getting him drunk. Eventually, Kevin's hand ended up down in his pants.
Mm.
Heather said, quote, "My son's efforts to shift his body to remove Spacey's hand were only momentarily successful. The violation continued. My son panicked. He froze. He was intoxicated. When Spacey left to go to the bathroom, a concerned woman who had seen what was going on told the kid to run." Mm. And he did.
Good.
But Heather said her son still hasn't recovered from it. Quote, "It harmed him. It can't be undone. While he has tried his best to deal with it, he says it's always there and it continues to bother him. He can't erase it." God, it just seems like this is every day.
Isn't it weird when you open a newspaper or, you know, do the internet or put on the TV? It's like they're doubling mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah, let's move on and talk about another type of perversion, shall yes. we? Bob Saget, who is 61, is engaged to his sexy 38-year-old girlfriend. I believe that's a 23-year difference. Her name is Kelly Rizzo, and she's a travel blogger. Bob posted a picture of them celebrating their engagement with friends, and Kelly posted a picture of herself with her new bling. Bob has three daughters from his first marriage, which lasted from 1982 to 1997. Bob's Fuller House co-star, John Stamos, just got engaged, too, and his wifey-to-be is only 31. Then again, John is only 54, so both he and Bob are on the sweeter end of a 23-year age gap, and I think that's disgusting.
Kelly Rizzo!
God, 20 yeah. years
What
apart.
Are those people doing?
Honest to God.
And I you can see John Stamos because he's handsome, but Bob Saget?
Next September, Carl and I will be celebrating our ninth wedding anniversary. Can you believe that? And
oh, my God.
We'll be, I think 14 years together. 15 years together.
Yeah, well, 21 years. Yeah. You'll be ready to end it. Hey, trust me.
Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that. Jennifer Aniston hasn't had a regular role on TV since Friends ended 13 years ago, but that's about to change. Apple has just picked up a new drama starring Jennifer and Reese Witherspoon. It's about the anchors on a morning show, and parts of it will be loosely based on a book called Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV.
Sounds great.
I'm all in on the concept.
Sounds great.
It's by Brian Stelter. It's pretty early in development, so there's no word on any other casting or when it might premiere. By the way, this won't be the first time they've acted together. As you may recall, Reese played Jennifer's younger sister on a couple of episodes of Friends back in 2000. So the show will be Top of the Morning. I think that's, I'd love to see a send-up of morning television.
I would like to see that. You know, it'd be great if they can find a good stick-up-his-butt type male lead for them to play off, because you'll need that.
Be very
You'll
good. Need that. Even though it's still early in November, you've probably heard Christmas music already. It's more or less impossible to avoid it. But according to one psychologist, it's not getting you into the spirit. It's making you insane.
No!
Yes, all right. Yes, whoa. Insane. A woman named Linda Blair, not the girl from The Exorcist, a different Linda Blair, is a clinical psychologist in England, and she says that listening to Christmas music too early in the season is bad for your mental health. Why, you might ask?
Yeah, why, Mike?
Because it's a reminder of all the stressful stuff you have to do. In other words, when you hear Holly Jolly Christmas, it reminds you you have to buy gifts, organize parties, and send out cards. It's a tough one when there's a little delay doing that talk up, but I'll do it for you right now. Don't listen to this. It'll drive you nuts. Hey, Jose Feliciano.
Boom!
I probably walked it a little
bit. No. You got it. You got it.
I got it. All right. Anyway, so it tells you that you got to get all the stuff done.
There's anxiety, I imagine.
Yeah.
Says it's really bad for people who work at stores where they play Christmas music all day for two straight months because the catchy melodies make it hard for them to focus on anything else.
Yeah.
It's funny. I went into Walmart the other day. They had the Christmas trees up. Put me in a good mood.
I actually have audio from that psychologist, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we asked her about the Christmas music.
It's fine!
There it is. Drive you insane. This probably won't make swatting flies any easier, but it might be less frustrating once you know why it's so difficult. It's really hard to hit a fly with a fly swatter because they're basically seeing everything in slow motion.
What?
How do they know this? Humans and other animals don't really see things as one continuous video. Our brains are constantly piecing together images, so everything looks like it's continuous. How fast it happens is called flicker fusion rate. For humans, it's about 60.
What's your flicker fusion rate?
Hey, your chance to win a trip to the Bahamas comes up with flicker fusion rate.
We have to spin the flicker fusion rate real.
Hi, I'm Bean from the Kevin and Bean Show. Check out our flicker fusion rate. For humans, it's about 60 times a second, kind of like a video camera that shoots 60 frames per second, but not all animals have the same flicker fusion rate.
Do they have that out at the Whitehall Inn?
Yes, right next to their fabulous fruit fritters. For turtles, it only happens about 15 times a second.
Dummies.
So things look like they're moving a lot faster. For houseflies,
yes,
it's around 250 times a second, which means they're seeing the world move four times slower than us. So if they see a fly swatter coming their way, it's kind of like, no. They can move before it hits them.
I hate to work you, Mike, but you know who played the fly was Jeff Goldblum.
That's right.
I wonder how he would read.
Well, the last
story.
Sentence here says, we're just smarter than flies. We're smarter than flies. So sometimes we catch them by surprise. That's the way that works. So even with that turbo vision, they're still gonna make a little faux pas once in a while. Thank you very much. And now a little something. The Clackamas, Oregon Sheriff's Office said a UPS driver was on his route about 7:45 p.m. Monday when he heard what sounded like a person calling for help from inside a home. The man called his wife, who contacted the sheriff's office. The UPS worker remained on the scene to point deputies toward the house. Deputy Hayden Sanders That sounds like, how you folks fixing to be tonight? Hayden Sanders arrived on the scene and soon discovered the source of the screams. A parrot.
No.
Was screaming for help. The parrot's name, I am not making it up. It is in the news story today. The parrot's name, Diego. On a Facebook post, the sheriff's office said, we are happy to report that Diego the parrot was uninjured and in no need of police assistance. The parrot was taken to a Hampton Inn in New Orleans where he'll be staying for 3 months with Oscar's credit card. Thank you very much. Been all Diego all the time on the Mike O'Mara show. All came together today. Wow. So worried about the beginning of the show. Anyway, we'll take a break and have more fun. You got nice little sounds for us there, Rob?
You know what? I bought a few of them at Central Market in New Orleans and I brought them home with me.
Oh, as tasty as an empanade or tamponade or whatever the hell it is. That
olive tamponade, olive salad.
We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara show.
Hey, a special announcement for all of my D.C. area listeners. If you're heading down to the beach, make sure to check out the Mike O'Mara Show. We can be heard Monday through Friday on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. There's a chill in the air, and the days are getting shorter, so now more than ever, you need to save time.
Time.
Shopping Amazon is the greatest time saver in the world. Be a great time saver, like Carrie Null. He bought a speedometer calibrator for his 2014 Jeep Wrangler. Now he can know exactly how much time he's saving as he zooms around town.
Zoom!
That wasn't a real motivator for it, but that's okay. Serena Spatola purchased a black, sparkly, half-sized violin, which replaces a perfectly good 1/8 size violin, which would be a nice size for Diego the intern. He's all through the show today.
He's everywhere.
He's a theme, a motif.
Like a virus.
And Jason Hill. Is that the Cameron Hills, Jason Hill?
I believe it is, yes.
He bought an Amazon Fire tablet, which he promptly left behind in New Orleans. I didn't see Jason in New Orleans, did I?
I didn't see him either.
And it could be another Jason Hill. Could be another Jason. Common name.
He left it behind, looked for it under a pile of powdered sugar and vomit. Don't you see? Can't you see? Amazon truly sells everything. Shopping Amazon. By the way, it's the holiday season.
Time
it's official.
To do it.
Happens a little before Thanksgiving, but we know you early shoppers are thinking about your holiday gifts already. Please remember us when you do that. Shop Amazon through the Mike O'Mara Show page. Shopping Amazon through our portal changes nothing for you, means the world to us. Do your shopping at Amazon and please access it via TMOS. Use the app or go through our website. It'll save you time. Now go spend money and spend a lot of it. Buy some oddly sized violins, won't you? Do that. Thank you very much. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today, Thursday, Nov 9, 2017. Take it away, Rob.
There is no greater or long-running formula of success on television than The Price is Right. I mean, they're in their second host, their fifth announcer, but it just seems to work, right?
Yes.
And what's the best prize ever? New car.
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone wants
brand
the
new car.
But
it's a new Corvette!
But I found out that if you win a car or an amazing prize on The Price is Right, you have to pay the taxes before you leave that day.
Oh.
You have to pay the taxes that day?
That day.
I knew you had to pay taxes on it, but wow.
So most people, and this actually happened to my sixth grade principal. She came in and talked about it. Most people sell the car to pay the taxes, and they end up realizing a few $1,000s,
yes,
you know, because they take a little loss. So there was a guy on The Price is Right yesterday. This is all
like a scam to me, to be honest with you.
Well, what it is, it's a way to keep the car while you give away the car, but you keep it.
This was around
on YouTube yesterday. A guy obviously knows the system. He was playing the game Let It Roll, where you have to roll five dice and get five cars in like three rolls, right, to get the car.
Okay.
He stopped with a roll left and took the cash because he knew that if he won the car, he wouldn't really win. And it drives the audience and Drew crazy. This is so counter to good television that it's great television.
I like it.
You have $1,500 cash. You can keep that or go for another roll. Try to get the five cars with the roll that won.
Well, stop it. Pause it for a sec. Did he say five cars?
Yeah, you have five dice. And each one of them is
has a car.
Three sides of them have a car.
So I got it. Okay. All right. So he has to get five dice cars before he gets the one.
Yeah. Let me start this from the front. I'm sorry.
You have $1,500 cash. You can keep that or go for another roll. Try to get the five cars with the roll that won.
I'll take the $1,500 cash, Drew.
You don't want to roll that one to try to win the car? No, I'll take the 1500.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
But all you have, you get two more rolls. You get two more chances to get the get that to turn that 1500 into a car.
I want the 1500.
Okay, I just want to let you know that this is like a freebie. You can roll this and no penalty. You might get maybe 500 or 1000, but you might win a car.
Oh no, $1500 would be fine.
He's gonna take the 1500, folks. I'm not gonna.
Right.
They're booing him.
Wow. Man. Oh, Kevin. You're a heartbreaker.
But the thing is, you know, he'll be able to take that cash, pay the taxes on it right away, and walk home with, you know, $1,200, $1,100.
You know what blows me away is that one day, that one Friday, that I actually turned down the Price is Right and caught that amazing Showcase Showdown where they gave like 80 grand away because they were all hitting
it was rigged.
The dollar bills. It was rigged.
Totally rigged.
No, it wasn't, I believe.
Now, do you know the name if I tell you, Mike, Charlie Pellett?
No.
He's a voice guy. I think he does some NPR stuff, but he's also the guy that voices all.
Did he invent the stove?
No, not the.
It's a Maine joke. Hey, for all my friends in Northern Maine, that's a pellet stove joke.
Thing. Actually, Mike, he owns a lot of guinea pigs.
Oh yeah, the pellets that you fit them. Why did you have to? Why did you have to climb on my joke? Why did you have to climb on my joke with a lesser joke, you bastard?
But he is the guy that voices the warnings. He's like the Metro guy, but for the New York City subway.
Okay.
And because New York is better than D.C. in every
Charlie
way.
Charlie Pellett.
This is what you hear when you get off the train on the subway in New York City.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
So you can actually understand the guy. Mm. Well, you know how Conan is in New York City. He's in, I believe, in Brooklyn this week. And so they actually booked him as a guest. And it's so great because it's a New York audience. They know this guy. He's like a star. So Conan has some fun with Charlie Pellett.
You have an iconic voice. Lay it on us.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great?
But, Charlie, awesome. This is New York. That's way too polite. If you don't mind, say it like a real New Yorker, just once. You want to hear that? Let's go.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please. Or don't. Let's be honest. A guy with his head stuck in the subway doors would be pretty friggin' funny.
All right.
And the bing bing.
I thought of a couple of other phrases I've always wanted to hear in your voice.
Next stop, Funky Town. Just a reminder, we're all one day closer to those big closing doors in the sky. If you're taking this eastbound 7 train to City Field, let me save you the trip. The Mets lose.
I thought that was pretty good. That's and a great awesome. Way to play to a local studio audience. Our like president, that. Donald Trump, is in China, which made me think of this. We've played this before, but I want to play you a little bit. This is a musician named Iggy Jackson.
Excuse us.
What was that? Want to edit that out?
Yeah, please bleep
Iggy
that out.
Iggy Jackson, what? C word?
No, that's not the name.
Very aggressive name.
Iggy Jackson. That'll get him a lot of gigs.
It'll sell
tonight
a lot of tickets.
At the Warner Theater, Iggy Jackson C word.
It's Iggy Jackson Cohen. Another C word. Okay, and what he did good. Is he talked about Donald Trump in China and he laid a funky bass groove over it. I love this.
Let's say China. China, 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 China. You go over to China, 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 you take China,
China,
China, I love them, China, China. China, China, China. I have to have my China. China, China, because China, 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 China.
It goes on for a minute and a half more, but isn't that great?
China,
China, China. So if you get in a fight with a neighbor and you want to pull a knife, what's the best way to...
Like Rand Paul.
Yes, exactly. But let's say you are the one who's starting the fight. What's the best way to protect yourself?
Claim self-defense.
If you've spent some time in prison, you know that if you take porno magazines and duct tape them to yourself as body armor, you're going to be protected. So let us go to Oklahoma, where a guy was caught in a knife fight with his neighbor with porno magazines duct taped to his body.
It had been brewing for 2 weeks.
He appeared to be intoxicated somewhat. He did comply with the officer when he ordered him to the ground at gunpoint. And he was holding knives in both hands whenever the deputy confronted him. Suspect told him that he had been in prison before, and that was a way that they used to protect themselves in a fight.
Mike, he appeared. He appeared to be intoxicated.
Appeared to be intoxicated, wrapped with porno magazines. And his body wasn't going with him.
His body just was not going with him. Marty Lacker, Mike.
Marty Lacker, that's right. Elvis's bodyguard. Marty Lacker, thank you.
And that begs the question, what would Marty Lacker do?
His body just wasn't going with him.
Well, we all love Tom Brady because everyone loves an underdog. So let's close with this. Here's a type of Tom Brady that will make you love him even more. How does he cheat on his diet?
Favorite junk food that you don't eat, but if you could eat it, that you would splurge on it?
Ice cream or a cheeseburger. But I do eat those.
Yeah.
I just don't eat a lot.
All right.
Yeah, just every once in a while.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
What a dick.
I hate him.
Right?
I hate that guy. You know what I would like to do? Fit. I'd like to cover myself with porno magazines and go after him.
is that the end of your
That's
audio
your
vault?
Magic audio yes. vault, everybody. Yeah, just, have a good Thursday, checking. Everybody.
Just trying to figure out what the hell is going on with that last 5 minutes. All right, anyway, that's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com. Mailing address, TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening, everybody, and join us again for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show for Rob and Oscar. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Take it easy, baby. I worked all day and my feet feel just like lead. You got my shirt tail flying all over the place and the sweat rubbing out of my head.
Bye-bye.
She said, hey, boss, I know we'll be
one last thing. Please remember that MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.